Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We're continuing our conversation with Jacob Hornberger. He's candidate for President of the United States going for the Libertarian Party nomination. Now, I've known Jacob for a long time, since 30 years, and he has been a big inspiration to me, and a lot of our advocacies and confidence in philosophy comes from him. Now, one thing that libertarians are often known for is open borders. Now, Jacob does not shy away from that, and he's very adamant in his articulation of that position and why. Maybe we can learn something. Your self-esteem. I feel bad. I need affirmation. Gosh darn it, I'm funny and I'm good looking and people like me. I mean, you know, that's what they're looking at. That's what they play on. And that's how they control Trump. You know, it's an ego thing. Once you put that aside and you do what Jacob is doing, that it's not about Jacob. It's about the principles. It's about the future of abundance and the advocacy for individual being able to, you know, rise up from their own merits, a meritocracy, which you're going to start hearing that a lot more, because that is just good. Here it comes. So this is 24, I really hoped, especially in the morass of crap that's going on, 24 could have been the year of the libertarian, and you don't hear anything. And that's one of the big reasons why I wanted to have you on. You're out there, and why? Why is there no consider? The only time I hear it is if when RFK Jr. went, and I'm going to run as an independent, I go, yeah, you think you are, because I know what it takes. You know, it is, you're going to spend, $30 million just getting on the ballot that they'll try and take you off of anyway. So this is for him to approach the libertarians and come to the convention. Pick me. I'll give you a lot of press. There's a lot of people that are going to go, okay, we'll get some coverage. Yay. They'll raise some money. Yay. And kill America's best chance. So what do you think about that? Was there serious conversations about RFK running as a libertarian?
Yeah, and I just got back from the California Libertarian Party, where the California Party featured him in the convention debate. They structured this thing so that only two of the Libertarian Party presidential candidates could be in the main debate before the convention, and then the rest had to be in a debate after the end of the convention on Sunday evening. So on the main convention debate, they limited it to two candidates plus Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I don't think there's any doubt that he's running into ballot access problems. He says he isn't, but it's nice to see him hoisted on his own petard, because when he was running with the Democrats, he never condemned ballot access barriers. Why should he? Now he's being hoisted on his own petard, but I think that in the end, he may try to rent the party. And there's people inside the party that would love to rent it to him in return for vote totals and ballot access and so forth. But if they did that, I think it would spell the end of the Libertarian Party. Because
certainly
everybody
the way it
would
is
have known
now.
What they did, they would be, well, it'd be a laughing stock. You know, oh, we got 20% of the vote. Yeah, with a welfare state-loving, gun-grabbing liberal Democrat who's praised communist Cuba and communist China. That's how you got your big vote total. So I cannot imagine him being the nominee. I could imagine him seeking the nomination if he can't get it on the ballot in enough states and trying to rent the party for that purpose, but I just find it very hard to believe that the party would go that far in terms of abandonment of principle just to get vote totals up.
Well, all I got to do is somebody show up with a check. That's how that happens. So go ahead and, you know, give us a future 10 years, you know, a while. I mean, you know, what are we looking at by 2030 and the agenda of 2030, agenda of we're going to take over America agenda, the middle class is the threat agenda, we don't have a middle class anymore agenda. I mean, you know, whatever the heck it is that, you know, the what's going to happen to the dollar, international trade, is freedom going to resurrect itself on a crypto? Are they going to do central bank digital currency and social credit score? Have you got your shot? I mean, how far does this have to go before it's like massive noncompliance of kiss my butt of even, because they always got to have a war. And if a civil war, they got this movie coming out in May, Civil War. What kind of merkin are you? I mean, what kind of what? You know, I remember when this started in 19 with the movie Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, and they're going to resurrect and have another one. And it was a friend of mine and I, Bob, we were in Massachusetts and we were watching, yeah, let's go see that movie. Well, I'm like, what the crap was that? It was Antifa, BLM in the streets, Portland, you know, predictive programming movie. And I was like, this is, it's intentional. It's intentional. It's intentional. It's intentional. And it's always that one person that won't go sit in the back of the bus. It's Kyle Rittenhouse. You know, it's, you know, the young guys, you know, the idealistic kind of, I'm not compromising, whatever, and I'm not going to let this guy kill me. Pedophile. I mean, you know, it's just so stupid. It only takes a little bit of opposition, a little bit of inspiration to set a standard for everybody else. The future, do you think there's going to be more of that or less? They're going to squash it out. They're going to shoot it out. They're going to eliminate it, put you in jail, Navalny. I mean, you know, what do you think is going to happen over the next 4 years after 24? Because it doesn't really matter what happens, who gets in 24. What's going to happen is going to happen. So we're going to be war. We're going to be, you know, come together as Americans under principle. Is it going to be some state, you know, Arizona, Texas, Florida, something's going to be, you know, bite me, Texas secede? I mean, give me some off the wall kind of what you think that somebody else wouldn't notice. What do you think, man?
Well, I think if we stay on the trajectory we're on, it's going to be really bad with respect to freedom. It's going to get worse in terms of economic crises, fiscal crises. I don't think there's any question about that. Your point about people resisting, I don't buy that at all. I think this is a very weak nation. We got the most powerful government in history and the weakest nation. You got people that are dependent on Social Security. Notice that all the anti-war protesters from the 60s, they're quiet as church mouse now because they're scared of losing their largesse, their Social Security and their Medicare. This is what welfare does to a system, to a society. It makes people weak, dependent. There's no sense of self-reliance and independence that characterize our 19th century ancestors. So the people that resist, like you and me and whatever, are few and far between. So I think if we stay on this trajectory, very, very for people like you and me, and then, but I also have never wavered in my conviction that freedom is possible in my lifetime, in your lifetime. Things can turn on a dime, as I said earlier. There have been great awakenings in history. And what our job as libertarians, and this is why I keep saying we've got to return to our principles, that our job is to cause that awakening, like my awakening. When I discovered libertarianism, as I told you at the beginning of this show, that it was powerful, uncompromising principles that broke through this indoctrination. And so if we're going to stop this trajectory, and I think it's entirely possible to turn things completely completely around. I think this is why this Schwab is scared, that he understands that this could happen, that there's a great awakening, especially among people in the Christian community, that realize the welfare state and the warfare state violate Christian principles. Now you're talking about a completely different change in directions. For example, in this immigration, before I forget, Ernie, I'd like to tell you about this new book, or just mention this new book called The Case for Open Borders by a guy named John Washington. He lives in Tucson. It just came out about a couple of weeks ago. This is the best book on immigration I think I've ever read, maybe subject to our book, The Case for Free Trade and Open Immigration, that I co-edited. But this book is fantastic. If every American were to read this book, The Case for Open Borders by John Washington, we'd be having a new trajectory in this country. So to answer your question, the verdict's out as to what's going to happen over the next 4 years. I think the Libertarian Party could play a major role in igniting all these wildfires on immigration, open borders, abolishing socialism, dismantling the welfare state, the warfare state. We haven't even talked about the national security state, the Pentagon, the CIA, the NSA, all the state-sponsored assassinations, the invasions, occupations. The Libertarian Party can lead the way out of this morass, but not through reform. The only way it's going to happen is by restoring the founding principles of this party and the founding brand of this party.
Meat axe, big giant cleaver, lop it off. You know, that was one thing that I really liked about Javier Milei. He during the campaign, it'd be like last October or something like that, he had this big whiteboard, a magnetic whiteboard, and it had across, I think it was like in yellow, it had representations of each of the departments. And he'd go up and he goes, "Gone, gone, 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 gone." And I'm like, you know, yeah, we'll see if he really does it. So this is, whether Javier is one of they, them, those in disguise or whatever, is not even the point. The point is that he tapped into a demonstration of what people really want. I mean, he rode that freedom-oriented mindset to victory. You know, well, we can't do that. You know, it takes, so then you get the guys that got money to do it, like Trump, and they're trying to, you know, $300 million for financing on a, I mean, just stupid stuff. You know, this is the point that I want to make. This is how, you know, I think it's playing out. It costs, what, $1-2 billion for a presidential campaign now? I mean, do you have any idea? I mean, it's a lot, okay? So this is for Trump to go in, doesn't spend any money. He does his Truth Social thing that may go public. He may make billions of dollars on that. Then you have $300-something million he's supposed to pay because some judge said, and there's going to be other millions, and $85 million to what's her name, and million. They're indicting him and suing him into office. You know, it's going to be, he getting so much press and so much coverage and so much support from a lot of people, go MAG, you know, because Republicans hate him, the Democrats hate him, heck, the media hates him, you know, heck, that's endorsement as far as we're concerned. So he's going to be indicted in at a discount. You know, it's like, you know, billion, I don't need to spend a billion, I just got to pay off half a billion, I got 50% off, I get to be president. Oh, it's in that mindset. It's the people. Do we ever really have a say? It's general public opinion, it always has been. If the Libertarian Party understood the power of the philosophy, of the consistency of the philosophy, of the reason, but the humanity of it, you know, what would Christ do? You know, what would Thomas Jefferson do? What would our founding father, you know, even the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, everything that the Anti-Federalists said was going to happen, happened. So we got to go back to what, you know, we got to understand why America became such a superpower from nothing. We weren't an empire. We didn't have it. It was just from the effort, the sweat of the brow of individual people, a philosophy, a future of abundance, that charity started at home, that we are compassionate people. Because what are we up against? You create a shiny badge, you create a collectivized power of something with a shiny badge and a position of, who wants that? Scumbags, sociopaths, psychopaths, they want to do it. And rarely do you get an opportunity to have an opportunity to support someone like Jacob Hornberger that's not in it for that. That have set aside so many other things. You could, he's an attorney. You know, he has a Future Freedom Foundation. I mean, he could go on, use his brain, and take care of and have a nice life of whatever. But he's so committed to freedom, the Future of Freedom Foundation that starts in 1990. And you're going, why would he do? What drives this person? You know, he's a man of faith, not just in God, but in freedom. I emphasize Jacob because he's such a beacon and an inspiration to me that to have an opportunity to support the vote, I don't give a crap if it's half a percent of none percent or if I don't even vote. It's I vote when I put up a sign. I vote when I have him come on the show. I vote when I put him up on the site. I vote when, you know, so many times I've supported Jacob Hornberger. He comes and speaks at the Freedom Summit. Why? Because I need to demonstrate that these people even exist, that the opportunity is there. And it's up to guys like Klaus Schwab on an international, global, universal level of go, that is their threat. And you're damn skippy it is. But sooner or later, you get into an Argentina position that things are so bad that the only solution is an abandonment of all the systems. An anti-collectivized system guy, Jacob Hornberger. Jacob, thanks for coming on, man. Give your final message to the audience before we let you go, because I, you bring out the passion in me and articulate this, and you're such an example. I can't say these things with this much passion without having someone like you to demonstrate that it's possible, that you're in opposition, not only to they, them, those, but inside the Libertarian Party. You think they, them, those are going to ignore the Libertarian Party? It's the biggest threat. So says Klaus Schwab. You see my point?
I see your point perfectly, and thank you very much for the nice words. And the feeling's mutual. You inspire me every time I come on the show. My batteries get recharged for especially going to more conventions every weekend. I'm heading off to 3 conventions this weekend. You know, Ernie, we are the hope for mankind. I mean, there's just no question. We're the lighthouse that is showing the way to people. And for all too long, we've been taught that our principles are albatrosses, they're liabilities, they cost us votes. Pure nonsense. Our principles are our greatest asset. And if we stick with our principles, especially like on immigration, imagine all along the border, all the 10%, let's say, if that's the number of people that favor open borders. I mean, you don't need a large amount of money because the word will spread like wildfire. Hay un candidato que favorece fronteras abiertas. And they'll be picking up their cell phone saying there's a candidate out there that's calling for open borders. Spread the word. And all of a sudden, you've got this wildfire going on. But that's where our principles come in. And this is, I can't emphasize this too much, that it's libertarianism is an exciting philosophy. Reform is boring. When you run a campaign based on Social Security reform, immigration reforms, educational reform, healthcare reform, I go to sleep. But who's going to go to the barricades for that kind of message? Can you imagine, Ernie, somebody saying, hey, Ernie, get your AR-15. We're going to the barricades. What for? What are we doing? Oh, we're going to fight for freedom 25 years from now because we got a plan to abolish socialism 25 years from now. It ain't going to happen. You go to the barricades because people are saying we're going for freedom. And that's what we got to restore in this party and in this movement, that our principles are the way out of this darkness. This is the way we lead the world to the highest reaches of freedom that mankind has ever seen.
I have
faith.
Thank
you for having me on.
I have faith in the philosophy, and Jacob had a great role in articulating it for a lot of us young activists in the early 90s, that we took that along with other uncompromisers like L. Neil Smith and other people like Rick Tompkins here, you know, is a good friend and state chair. And there was just a small influential, I'd say like half a dozen people. You know, John Buttrick, that retired as a federal judge. I mean, you know, he was a hardcore Harvard law grad, summa cum laude, super law firm of and articulated this stuff well. There's always these people that had, I already understood it just from reading, you know, the Declaration of Independence really had a big impact on me. All right, what the heck is going on? I came out from economics, and it's a long story, but, you know, I come in and I start, what the crap? And it took 2-3 years before I came across my first libertarian. And they started, I'm going, whoa, what the crap is that? That, where's this been all my life? And everything has been about suppressing this philosophy because it is what America was made so great on. And it can be again. It's going to crash. It's going to burn. Because it can't not. But that's what Freedom's Phoenix was about. In 96, we came up with that. From the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch, freedom's rebirth, freedom's phoenix. But you got to go through the ashes. And how do you do that? With faith, with the armor of principle, with an understanding of what can be, with the promise of abundance, just leave you aloneism. And we'll be fine. Fine. Better than fine. And a light, as we have been in the past, to the world. So this is what I'm counting on. And I'm counting on Jacob to please just keep doing what you're doing. Stay in the fight. Don't compromise. And you might use that Klaus Schwab piece in your next thing going, see, this is what we're afraid of. Yeah, so that worked out. Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you. I love you. Thanks for being there. This has been awesome. I feel a lot better now. I got to purge myself.
All right. Thank you, Ernie. It's always an honor and a pleasure. And thanks for all your nice words. And
your where's
support.
Your campaign site? You know, is there a campaign website they should go
to? Yeah, yeah. JacobForLiberty.com. And in fact, today I'm getting ready to post. I post all the videos of the debates. I think people would really enjoy watching them. And I'm getting ready to post a debate in Missouri and the debate in California that I participated in. That was the post-convention debate, not the main debate on the main stage before the convention. So, and then plus a lot of the talks I'm giving, everything's up there at jacobforliberty.com. And I would invite people to come and visit us. And if you're able to help us out with a donation, that would be great. I'd be honored and appreciative.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing. Yeah, blah, 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 vote, don't vote. I don't give a crap. Go donate. You know, just give $5. You know, throw something. Put your name on the. You want to be on the list? Be on top of the list. It's safer there. You know, go get on top of the list. You know, against the man, and go donate a little bit to Jacob for me. I mean, you can give me money. That's always good. But today, go do it for Jacob. Can I just want to? You got to encourage this stuff. You got to be supportive of this. You got to give a light. You know, I'm going to do it right now. Gosh darn it! All right. All right, we're in the process of donating. I get it taken care of. You know, thank you very much, Jacob. It's always awesome to talk to you. You got some great news of whatever the heck. Let me know, okay?
Will do. Thank you so much, Ernie. I can't thank you enough. But I'm honored and appreciative.
Thank you
great
very
show.
Much.
Enjoyed it.
Me too. Peace, brother.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
USA News Update. Former President Trump held the Supreme Court's ruling preventing states from removing him from the ballot, stating it will unify the country.
They worked long, they worked hard, and frankly, they worked very quickly on something that will be spoken about 100 years from now and 200 years from now. Extremely important.
On Monday, the court's decision in Colorado's case barred his removal over insurrectionist claims, effectively halting similar attempts by other states. Alan Weisselberg, former CFO of the Trump Organization, has entered a guilty plea to perjury charges. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office confirmed his surrender Monday morning in relation to the new charges. A fallen utility pole is suspected to have sparked the largest wildfire in Texas history. Several lawsuits and property insurance claims assert that Xcel Energy neglected to inspect and maintain their equipment. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. That was a great interview with Jacob Hornberger. He's the founder of the Future of Freedom Foundation, FFF.org, and candidate for President of the United States of America as a libertarian, a no compromise. I wanted to make sure you got exposed to that because I endorse Jacob, anything that he does, because I know he's consistent. Well, we got a little bit of extra time, and I wanted to we'll do a little bit. You get a 20 minutes or so of a conversation with a good friend, Mr. Robert Anderson. I'm sure you'll enjoy. Interview 1866. You know, this is James Corbett has this up. New French law could criminalize jab resistance. That is exactly what the thing I was most afraid of and why I wanted to do the Love Bus Liberty tour. It was, I could see that they were going, it was going to be vaccine mandates. We could see this.
Oh, they tried.
2009.
They tried.
Oh, they're trying. Well, now they're saying, well, you don't get your life insurance benefit because it's an experimental drug and nobody made you do it. It wasn't it wasn't a jackboot on your neck holding you down, shooting you up. It was just you couldn't get out of your house, couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything, couldn't buy anything, you know, kind of. But nobody made you. You could have gone, died in the ditch somewhere by yourself.
And then we'd have paid you.
And, right. But the, and you get a Krispy Kreme donut. But, so now they're doing, around the world, and the fact, I guess, the France is starting this. Welcome to New World Next Week, the video series from Corbett Report, Media Monarchy with James Evan Pilato. And, they're covering this. And I haven't watched it yet. We just got it up.
I wonder how that's going to play with the French's version of the Second Amendment. Oh, that's right. They don't have
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I'm like, one second.
Well, yeah, that, which is why they have mandates.
You know, I had the yellow vest guy on a couple weeks ago. He's been texting me, you know, different things that's going on in Europe. And I wanted to ask if he knew anything about the tractor. The European Union got run over by a tractor. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. And, yep, you know, it's all part of the yellow vest is kind of its own little movement. And they got and they, like, protested and they, you know, dial a protest people.
Yeah, you're hardly hearing about what's going on in Europe. The farmers all over Europe are in major revolt. I mean, and you're catching very little of it. I mean, in Germany, they're swarming the streets. They're swarming the streets in Greece. You know, they just got through with the whole Brussels and, you know, a bunch of their EU Union stuff was up there. And, you know, and you're hearing very little of it here because the last thing they want to do is instigate the truckers and farmers over here to go, oh, yeah, hold my beer.
Yeah, you know, this is it's been interesting that we have.
Did you see Trump just made a big Teamsters Union thing?
Yeah, I saw the Teamsters Union is endorsing him now or something.
Yeah, and they just donated a bunch of money, I think. So he had some meeting with the Teamsters, and apparently it's, you know, they're typically hardcore Democrat. Well, they're backing Trump.
Yeah, but I wonder what he had to see. This was the concern I had, you know, dealing with Frank, you know, on this. I go, he's a negotiator. It's like a deal. Maybe he's a Republican, you know. And he's all about art of the deal. And I don't want my rights being negotiated away. And I go, well, how much is he going to negotiate away? Then he does this bump stock thing. You know, that was just stupid. Who the hell is he listening to? So it's, I'm afraid when he's negotiating with the Teamsters, what did he promise them? You know?
Gas prices. He wants to get the diesel prices down, and he's probably also talking about trade from Mexico and the Mexican truck drivers and, you know, open border. You know, all that stuff is that those are things that I'm sure he can make concessions. Not that I want to make concessions to the union, but, you know, it's politics. You got to make a deal.
Politics. You know, that's one thing. You know, I talked with Ron Paul. I was in Washington in like 10 or something like that. I was back there for something. And he just, you know, what's up? You know, stop by. You got time, you know, for me to come by and say, hey, yeah, you'll come at, you know, whatever. And I get like a half hour. We got to hang. And go to his office and sit out there. And there was a Campaign for Liberty thing had been going. And they started for the 2010 election cycle after 08. They were endorsing certain Republicans for office that normally libertarians, we were like, that scumbag piece of crap that voted for the Iraq war that did. So it was kind of the Campaign for Liberty, which really wasn't Ron Paul, but it was a political. They were trying to use the energy of the Levolution and direct it, right. You know, and charge you $35 to be told what to do, you know. And I'm like, this, I can't have anything to do with this. So I went. They went to a special meeting, brought me to Washington, you know, like the year, a couple years before, to try and. It was like March, April of 08 before he had pulled out, and they go, well, we need you to do. I go, no, hell no, you're just another collective.
Sorry, I'm a man of principle. Yeah, we can't have you anywhere near
right,
us.
Right.
you got principles.
But Ron understood. But by that time, you know, it kind of gets out of his hands. You know, once you get this gazillion dollar big and all your supporters of doing, they got plans, man. They're gonna, you know, we're gonna save America. We're gonna.
The organization becomes more important than what it was founded for.
Exactly. You know, so. I knew that, I don't think this is going to go well. When it really started to implode, when I went to his office, you know, said, oh, hey, Ernie, oh, you know, that was kind of like, you know, what are you doing? You know, I'm kind of like, well, I mean, you know, I didn't expect to get a hero's welcome or anything, but I don't know, be hairy eyeball the whole time. I was like, what the heck? So I just kind of, you know, I didn't really, you know, they're busy, you know, whatever. Go in, and it became clear. The backlash that they got for some, there was some Colorado or Utah, I think it was Colorado, somebody that they endorsed through the Campaign for Liberty, that was kind of the Ron Paul thing, but he really wanted the Ron Paul Institute and his show, the Ron Paul Liberty show. You know, that's really what Ron wanted. What they wanted was, you know, the political machine that they could do something with, be Republican or something. And so he wasn't, you know, he didn't blame me as much as, you know, probably other people, but it was clear that there was backlash, and they thought that I kind of instigated it. I mean, don't shoot the messenger. I just predicted you're not going to get these people that set aside their lives for a year and a half, you know, go be principal, do what they wanted to do, say, oh, by the way, now you owe us $35 a month, and we're going to tell you what to do. And I'm going, no, that who even thought up that?
Yeah, vast majority, you know, of these people are just against you as much as they were against those guys.
Yeah, I was. So we got the yak it for, you know, so-and-so says hi, so-and-so wants you to sign this book, so-and-so, I kind of got, you know, stuff done in like 3 minutes of, you know, passing messages and so on. And then we got the yak it, and I go, look, I just need to know what I can depend on. You know, what is it, you know, I just, what's the plan here? And he goes, three things. The words that come out of my mouth, this is Ron Paul, the words that come out of my mouth, that is, you know, my words. You see me saying it, that's me, okay? The votes that I do, that's me. I vote, you see my vote, I voted for that because I voted for that because I voted, okay? So he goes, that, he can count on that. And then he said, the rest is just politics. You know, he goes, and the rest is politics. And I'm going, whoa, there's a lot of rest, yeah. You know. And this is, so I'm like, you're still voting? I just can't count on this kind of process.
Voting is not going to help you when the cities start to burn and they're at your door, right. And you're worried about your kids and your wife and, you know, whether they're going to come through it unscarred or fed. You know, those are the things you need to be focusing on, because these people do not care about you. You're nothing but cattle. And if you aren't taking care of yourself, you're way behind the curve.
Well, this story, while we are witnessing in the Democrats' administration of justice, the Democrats appear to be the new Stalinist party. My conclusion is based on how they abuse law. President Trump has suffered 8 years of legal abuse from Democrats and their corrupt prosecutors and judges. It began with Russiagate, led by saying on and on and on. He goes on about it. This is Paul Craig Roberts, which was in, I think, in the Reagan administration. You know, he's one of the cabinet guys doing whatever, and he has his own website and so on. We put up, and it's not necessarily, I agree, he's trying to push towards certain things that he wants and whatever, but it really doesn't matter, because I publish his stuff because of the perspective that he has. He was in the administrations. He knows, you know, what's being done. And this, what's happening to Trump, is unprecedented. I'm sure they've done this
kind of... At least in modern times.
Yeah, at least freaking out in the open and, oh, my God.
It's pretty blatant that, you know, I mean, they're not even remotely trying to sugarcoat it. Because they believe that their half of the team wants, I mean, they want him to be brutalized in public and dragged through the mud, and whether it's fair or not, it's because he ain't on our team. You know, he's the quarterback for the other team, so, you know, if we can sack him, so be it.
Even though they find that Trump can take this, you know, which I don't know another human being on the planet that could survive the level of what they've done to him. I got to give the boy props for that.
Yeah, no, he's the kind of guy that every time you
bring
you poke him, he gets back up, and he gets back up harder, and he gets back up stronger. And so the best thing they could have done was trying to ignore the crap out of him.
Right.
The fact that it's been 4 years of Trump, 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 and, you know, all this, you know, you've said, oh, $385 million. I go, he's getting that in advertising. You know, and then he's going to sell his Truth Social for, or take it public for, billions of dollars. So why, you know, I'm sure he doesn't enjoy having $385 million poke in the eye. He's going to come through it, and it's just going to piss him off.
Yeah, he's going to...
He's going to get his.
Back up your 18-wheeler of lemons. I'll show you how to make lemonade.
Yeah, you know, because they already said, oh, we'll just take his properties. They take Trump Tower. Oh, yeah,
It's fight words.
Oh yeah, he's and they better understand. You know, I mean, not that I condone the political vengeance, but you know, there's going to be a certain amount of sitting back out here in Tonopah, sipping on a cold brew around the campfire, where I'm going to get a little smile as I start seeing some of these people getting their comeuppance. You know,
yeah,
I hate to see government have that power, but damn it, there's going to be a certain amount of enjoyment of seeing some retribution.
Well, see, this is exactly what triggered me with Frank. Is we got to go after them and get them with their own kind of. Once you go down that road, forever will it dominate your path.
And they're going to go down that road.
You know, so this is the kind of stories we see in Latin America. This is, you know, anytime any opposition comes up, they get assassinated. Anytime you have somebody do something, they arrest them. Anytime, I mean, it's just...
If they use the... I shouldn't say use the process. You know, some of these people have definitely done criminal actions. They need to be held accountable. This won't stop unless they get dragged in front of dragged to the guillotine or dragged to the gallows for what they've done.
But they got to be, pure enough not to get dragged down with it, because they're doing the same thing. A lot of these times when they did this, whatever they accuse, they're doing.
Which is why I would say I wouldn't prosecute anybody, but I'd make them all talk. Put it out in front of the American people and do it in the middle of a stadium. You know, they want transparency? We're going to do it in Madison Square Garden in front of big screen TVs, and we're just going to have, months of testimony.
Immediate and AI translated into all languages.
And anybody who lies, we're going to hammer you with the biggest club we can find. As long as you tell the truth, everybody walks, but the truth's going to come out.
Nah, they shoot them.
Whatever.
There'd be like machine guns.
Whatever. But
CIA agents would be standing at the door with their Tommies.
First personal lies.
Weeks after meeting between former President Donald Trump and, that's one thing right there. You know, they say former or they always put in quotes former or really current president or the real president, or they say President Donald Trump. I see more often than not, it must be the stories that I get or sent to me and stuff, is that they won't acknowledge that he didn't win. It's kind of deal, which is, I think it's kind of cool. I just, you keep the faith, man. Go for it. Former President Donald Trump and Teamsters Union leaders, including President Sean O'Brien and Secretary Treasurer Fred Zuckerman, along with the union's executive board at their Washington, D.C. headquarters, America's most powerful labor union, has made the first major donation to Republicans in two decades. God, what does that put?
Back at the turn of the century.
Baby Bush or something. Yeah. Why were they giving him any money? This move has sparked huge concern that unions are losing faith with President Biden, lauded as the most pro-union president ever. According to Axios, the Teamsters political committee donated $45,000, which is nothing, but, the maximum amount permitted. Oh. So Teamsters PAC.
Yeah, but they got pack one, pack two, the individual donations,
Members and so on. I'm just wondering, there's a maximum. Since when the hell do they have maximums? Well, they're going to do what they want anyway. To the Republican National Committee, this was the first big donation the union has made to the RNC since 2004. That's the RNC. That's not a particular candidate. That's to Republicans in general. So that $45,000 bought them a gazillion dollars worth of marketing here.
Yeah, and I'm sure that wasn't, Trump didn't go to all the way to sit down with this guy for a $45,000. That ain't nothing. There were other deals done, I'm sure.
Well, it says here that, there's a strong possibility that Trump himself may get their endorsement.
Yeah, well, I think
so. I guess he's trying to get the endorsement. I don't know what he's doing to get it. I'd like to know.
Yeah,
but
with what Biden has done to the trucking industry, a lot of these guys can't make ends meet hardly, and the price of diesel has come down a little bit from where it was, but it's still expensive, and I still say the truckers, they're slowly but surely realizing, with watching what's going on in Europe and what happened in Canada and all that. If after the 2020 election, if the truckers had just all pulled over to the side of the road, turned the key to off and go, we ain't turning the trucks back on till this is fixed, it'd have been fixed in a week.
What got fixed?
The election. If the truckers had just all go, bullshit, we know
it's
he
not
won.
Broken, it's fixed.
Yeah, but I mean, if the truckers as citizens had all just said, we know this is bullshit and it's going to get fixed, they just pulled over the side of the road and turned the trucks off, they wouldn't have had to, you know, because they don't know what to do with this. What are you going to do when the truckers, they're not doing anything.
They are
They're
powerful.
Doing nothing.
And I don't even think the Teamsters is really representative of a lot of the truckers. They're independent truckers.
A lot of independent truckers.
You know, this New York, we're not going to New York thing, this is the Teamsters trying to jump on the bandwagon that the independent truckers have already created.
Yeah, the independent truckers are the ones that are really, that move the country as much. You know, the...
So he's going, Trump is like, you know, continued adding he was in a greater position than other Republicans and that the union never had it better 4 years than they had during the Trump administration, which is probably true.
Probably true.
You know, so they
he was getting rid of a lot of the regulations. These guys are all scared to death with what's going on in California because the port over there.
Only allows electric trucks.
They're gonna, anybody after a certain year, your truck has to be electric or you can't, you know, work in California, which I still don't know how they're going to do that because the Interstate Commerce Clause kind of dictates what goes on with commerce, not the state, but we'll see how that all plays out. You know, they might be, the truck can't get off the freeway. You know, I don't know how they're going to deal with that. But so these guys, you know, they their livelihood is, you know, on the line. So
there's a lot of, you'll see on Freedom's Phoenix, we had put up several. Well, let me finish this, and I'll tell you about the hydrogen thing. Let's see. Before January, Teamsters donated this much to Democratic, $135,000 Democratic National Committee. The DNC also received $15,000 from the union in March. Teamsters represent about 1.3 million UPS and other transportation workers. Oh, UPS went Teamsters? Despite many other unions having, hell, that's probably all they have. You know, despite many other unions having already endorsed Biden, Teamsters has yet to endorse a candidate in 24 presidential race. Trump's and Biden's campaigns are locked in a fight to win over blue collar, yada, 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 yada. So, they're doing that. What you see a lot on Freedom's Phoenix is you'll see whenever I see things or even go look at times on hydrogen. Now they found, we got underground, we have unlimited, you know, hydrogen. We found hydrogen.
Was that hydrogen or helium? I didn't read the article.
Hydrogen.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going, how the heck does hydrogen even do that?
Well, you know, remember we ran into that guy, they were mining helium up on the rim. They're doing the same thing, you know, there's pockets of gas down there that...
Well, I'm wondering, hydrogen, I didn't think it would, maybe it's an accumulate something, whatever. So anyway, they find a bunch of hydrogen. Then they find another way to transport it. You know, they put it in ammonia, you can crack it easy, or they do whatever. It's a hydrogen thing. So it's been to make hydrogen by cracking water or other processes. You spend more energy getting
get
the
back.
Hydrogen than you get out of it.
Yeah, all so you're doing, you're expending energy to make it easily transportable. Or easily or transportable.
Use it or something. But then you can do it locally. You have a solar fields. We've got plenty here. That are cracking it and you store it and make a gas station out of your solar panels. You're better off if you just charge the battery to do it or run it direct. But if you're wanting to make hydrogen portable, Bob, you had a revelation or a great idea or exposed me to something I didn't even think about is that because of Palo Verde here, wasn't it originally supposed to be 12 plants?
Yeah, it was something. It was supposed to be a big circle around the switchyard, and then they went from like 12 to 5, and I think they actually had the license for 5, but they only built 3.
Why?
Because it was right around the time when they were having Three Mile Island, and nuclear was not, you know, it wasn't hip anymore. And they were having cost overruns and, you know, it was billions of dollars. And remember they had Washington Power Supply, whoops, whatever it was, and they had a bunch of those guys go bankrupt. It was a bad day for the nuclear industry, or it was a bad time for nuclear industry. They barely got those plants online. They almost didn't come online. They were very close to closing up shop and going by the way of some of the whoops plants.
Why?
It was just
cost.
Delays and cost, yeah.
Was it intentional, or is it just regulatory?
I wasn't steeped in it enough because I had just gotten out of the Navy when it was all happening, and a lot of it happened when I was in the Navy, the delays and all that stuff. So I wasn't steeped in all the rhetoric that was going on about
so
it.
So when was
but,
it that
but it was mostly just regulatory. You know, there was a lot of changes. TMI happened, so the industry came back and said, anybody
Three Mile Island,
anybody who's building a nuclear plant, you need to do this, 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 and this as retrofits so that we can, you know, make sure that don't happen again because that was bad. And so there was a lot of delay and cost in those, you know, those...
What year was it went online?
Let's see. I started in probably around 84, I think.
Because I remember, and I was in high school, it was 78. I went down to Mexico to photograph the barge coming in, because they had to go through the Panama Canal. They couldn't, the big steam turbine.
Well, I actually started out there in 84, and I'm pretty sure one of the plants had just gone online that year. So
they were building, they were bringing in the steam engines from Mississippi or something. They had to go down the Mississippi to Panama Canal and up the Gulf of California and the Rocky Point. And we had friends that in high school that were there, photographers, and we went down and we had the only pictures because it was stormy and it was like 2 weeks and all the other media left and we stayed. So we, and they let us on. We got all kinds of great pictures. We sold to the Arizona Republic. So we, you know, were the photographers for that. Because we, you know, a friend of mine was from down there, and we went down and had a good time. A bunch of young kids getting sold vodka by, you know, a 7-year-old on the beach. I mean, you know, woohoo! You know,
sounds like freedom.
Homemade fireworks, and so I remember that, and then that. So that was like 5, 6 years, 7 years before. So it takes like a decade, you know, or something
longer
to do these.
Yeah, no, they takes. That's why, you know, nobody just sits there and poops out a nuclear plant, or even a conventional plant. I mean, it's like you can build a you know, a gas
turbine.
They
are now.
Plant.
They're doing the freaking small little, put it in the back of a tractor trailer, haul it off to, you know, a city neighborhood of I Got Power, my factory.
Yeah, I've read stories about them. I've yet to see one.
Oh, shut up. They do. They have.
I have yet to see one.
They have these. The Russians have these barges of these nuclear power plants on a ship, and they just pull up to the port, and boom, they got power.
Yeah.
You know?
Where's ours?
Yeah, well, you know, Mr. Fusion.
I don't see one. I've been reading about small modular reactors for a long time, and there's a bunch of companies that are out there doing it, but they, you know, they all have their prototype, but there ain't nobody really building them. They're talking about it. I guess Gates was talking about building some in Idaho for a while, and then that kind of fell through, and, you know, it's a thing. But bottom line is, even these small modular reactors, they're not going to be cheap, and nobody's going to build them unless they can run them. And the more solar energy they put up, the harder it is for them to justify building a baseload generating plant that's not going to run baseload. Who's going to invest in that?
Well,
I'm not, as a venture capitalist, I'm going to I'm going to loan you $1 billion to build this plant that you're going to run 10%
of the
time. But they
make these large baseload plants almost impossible.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.